Hey, would you allow me to just have a moment to pray before I get into the Word? So would you just join me with your faith? Father God, I want to lift up two things on this Easter morning. I want to pray for our families and I want to pray for our communities. Father, across this auditorium this morning, there's different communities represented. And Jesus, this Easter morning, I pray your life, I pray your grace, and I pray your love over the communities that we live in, that your hand and your life would be on our neighbors and on the people we work with and at our jobs and at our schools, and that your grace is on our communities. Father, I want to lift up our families, Father, our loved ones. And Father God, I pray that our loved ones this Easter, that their hearts would be drawn toward you, that they would experience your love, they would experience your peace, and they would experience your grace. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. Happy Easter. Amen. Amen. He's risen. Amen. Praise God. He's alive. That's the amazing thing about Christianity. You know, Jesus is about 30 years old and he's beginning his ministry and he's walking along the Sea of Galilee. And just to set that up, it's a rural community. It's a rural area, just like really right here, like where we live. Now, we don't live next to a sea, but we're in an agriculture community, and in a lot of ways, their community was the same. And as Jesus is walking along, he comes up upon some boats. Now, these aren't pleasure boats. These are work boats. And there's men working with their father in the fishing business. And Jesus has an encounter with them. And as he does, here's what he says to them. He says, hey, why don't you follow me, and I'll make you fisher of men. So the Bible says they literally dropped what they were doing, left their father's business and followed him. Now listen, it's important that we're believers. It's important that we're disciples. But one of the simplest, powerful things about the gospel is Jesus is inviting you to follow him. It's just that simple. At the very end of his ministry, he said the same thing. He said, follow me. So they spent 3 years literally following Jesus. Then they went from town to town, and they camped out. They sat around campfires. They sat around the breakfast table. They sat around the supper table. I'm sure there were many nights where they would stay up till 1 and 2 in the morning talking and sharing. And can you imagine what it was like to sit at the table with Jesus? And we'll get to experience that. You know that, right? But they sat around that table, and they listened to him, and they followed him, and they hung on his every word. Well, now fast forward 2,000 years. You and I have his words. They're in the Bible, and you have an opportunity to follow him. You have an opportunity to listen to those words. A couple of weeks ago, we started a new series talking about the last seven words or the last seven statements that Jesus made when he hung on the cross. You see, Friday at about 9 o'clock in the morning is when he was hung on that cross. He was nailed to the cross. It was raised and dropped in that hole. And from 9 in the morning till about 3 in the afternoon, about 6 hours, he hung on that cross, literally suspended between heaven and earth, really between heaven and hell. And as he hung on that cross, which is a gruesome way to die, it's not a slow way to die, he made 7 statements. Now, we talked about a person's last words. Now, listen, every word Jesus spoke matters. Every word. And I'm not saying they don't, because they do. But those last 7 statements, we've just taken a little bit of time leading up to this morning talking about what he said. A person's last words matter. I heard the other day David Cassidy, some of you may be old enough to know who he is. He was in the Partridge Family. Okay, well, he died and his last words were this: oh, so much wasted time. Now, if you don't know who David Cassidy is, Google it when you get home. That tells me you're young, amen? So it matters, you know, what your last... Now, not everybody gets to say last words, but Jesus had some last words. I told you a couple of weeks ago, you know, my great-grandfather was in Amarillo, Texas, in the hospital, and he was dying. He was an older gentleman, and his last words were about 2 things. My grandmother went and ministered the gospel to him, and his last words were about regret, and they were about salvation and forgiveness. I was at a hospital one time visiting with an older gentleman who was in the hospital. He wasn't there having surgery or recovering. He was there dying. And as I went to visit this gentleman, his grown son was there in the room with him. And his father, who was in the bed dying, told his son these words. He said, son, I want you to know that I love you. Well, I watched that man climb into that hospital bed with his dying father, and he laid right next to him, and he leaned his head over on his chest, and he wept like a baby. I'll never forget it. And the reason he did was because that was the first time he'd ever heard his father say, "I love you." And it was some of his father's last words. Now, here are some of the things that Jesus said and that we've looked at. The first thing he talked about was forgiveness. We talked about that. What did Jesus say? Well, he hasn't been on the cross very long, and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." Listen, the first thing that Christianity offers is forgiveness. You've been forgiven. Now, God's also asking you to forgive others in your life. The second statement was about salvation. You know, Kurt mentioned earlier how Jesus is crucified between two thieves, between two criminals. And one of the criminals says to Jesus, "Hey, if you're God, why don't you get yourself off this cross and save yourself and save us?" But the amazing thing about that is if Jesus saved himself, he couldn't save us. Isn't that amazing? I don't know about you, but that so ministers to me. Then the other criminal says, "Hey, fool, shut up. Do you not know who you're talking to?" And he says, "Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, would you remember me?" And Jesus said those famous words, "Today you will be with me in paradise. Today you'll be with me in paradise." Salvation. The third thing he talked about was relationship. You see, his mother Mary is there, and John the disciple is there. All the other guys left because they're afraid. They've gone into hiding, but Mary's there and John is there. And he looks at his mother and listen to what he says to her. He says, "Woman, here is your son." Then he looks at John and says, "Here is your mother." The reference was about family, okay? Now, I've got good news this morning and I got bad news, okay? The good news is we're family. The bad news is we're family. Okay, right? That's good news and bad news, isn't it? I mean, just kind of look around this morning. This is your family, okay? You're going to be with me forever. And Lance Cox, amen? I mean, that's kind of, I know. We're going to be in our own part, aren't we, Lance? Right, yeah. There won't be anybody there but us, and we'll be locked up maybe. I don't know. But the reference is, hey, we're family. All right, we're family. I grew up in a church. My cousins went to a church that was across town, and they called each other brother and sister. We didn't do that because we were a little more sophisticated than that. And, you know, we weren't like the church that they went to. Now, when we needed God, we went over there. But otherwise, but we didn't call each other brother and sister. But listen, Jesus' reference is we're family. The next thing he talked about was abandonment. And he said the very famous words, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You see, because of the holiness of God, the Bible says that my sin and your sin was put on Jesus. Now, don't miss this. Your sin can only be one of two places. It's either on you or it's on Jesus. Now, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior this morning, I've got great news. Your sin has been put on Jesus. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, the Bible very plainly says you still carry your sin. You are still responsible for your sin. You see, the Word of God says that Jesus was made to be sin. Our sin. He didn't just die physically. Our sin was put upon him. And because of that, God being holy, God couldn't look in his direction. And it says God turned his back on Jesus. And Jesus said, "Why have you abandoned me?" And here's the amazing thing about that. You see, Jesus was abandoned so you would never be abandoned. Jesus took my abandonment. Jesus took my sin. Jesus took my punishment so I would never be abandoned and so you would never be abandoned. Amen? Then the next thing he talked about was distress, and he only said three words. He said, "I'm thirsty." And if you know that story, it says they put a sponge in some sour wine and put it on a stick and held him up to get a drink. And he was physically thirsty. I'm not saying that he wasn't, but more than that, he was spiritually thirsty. Why was he thirsty? Well, he was thirsty because God wasn't looking on him. My question to you this morning right here is, are you thirsty? For one reason or another, the last 5 or 6 weeks in our services, the Holy Spirit has been bringing us back to that simple point, and he's doing it again this morning. Are you thirsty? What are you thirsty for? What are you longing for? What are you hungry for? Listen, every single one of us are hungry for something. Every single one of us are thirsty for something. And Jesus said, "I'm thirsty." And my question to you is, are you thirsty? All right, then the two things we're going to finish on this morning, the next one is triumph. And I'm going to read to you out of John 19:30. These are three of the most powerful words Jesus ever spoke. Listen to what it says. It says, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Let me give you a little background on the word finished. It means done. It's a Greek word, tetelestai. Okay, and it means to be done. It means a job well done. It means a job finished. It means there's nothing, you don't have to go back and do anything to it to make it better. Jesus said what? He said it's finished. Okay, now I just want to read you some things that that involves and that means. When he said it's finished, he meant that his life work on the earth as a man was finished. He meant that his mission to redeem you and I as sinners was finished. That perfect work was completed. It means that the Passover lamb was slain and that it's finished. You see, when Jesus died on the cross in Jerusalem at the temple, the Jewish leaders, the priests, were getting to start the evening sacrifices, and they were gathering the lambs, and they were sacrificing lambs for the sin of the people. Well, when John saw Jesus at the river and was going to baptize him, and he noticed him coming, here's what he said, behold the lamb who takes away the sin of the world. You see, Jesus is my sacrificial lamb. He's your sacrificial lamb. And when Jesus died on the cross, those sacrifices never had to be offered again. Now, I do not want you to miss this. Jesus' sacrifice for you is finished. It's done once and for all. It was perfect. It was complete. And there's nothing you can do but receive it. And there's nothing you can do after that to get in God's good graces or in the sense of to please him, because Jesus took care of it. Amen? Amen. So it's done. Listen, I like to get up early in the morning. I'm a morning person and I love getting up and having quiet time with God. I enjoy that time in that part of my day. But I don't get up early to please God. I don't get up early to pay penance. I don't get up early to suffer. Are you with me? Now, when I was young, I used to get up early and try to pray, and all I would do is go from the bed asleep to the couch asleep. Okay, I had a friend in Bible school, and we would meet every morning early to pray, and all we would do is fall asleep together on the couch. So we got the bright idea. So here's what we did. Literally, this is crazy. We went into the bathroom, and we sat on the edge of the bathtub because we knew if we fell asleep, we'd fall back into the tub and crack our head open. All right, now I don't know why we were doing that. I think we were doing it to somehow please God. Here's the point. You don't have to do it. The sacrifice has been paid. Listen, God loves you. Don't miss this. God is pleased with you. You're his son. You're his daughter. Yeah, Pastor, but what about that stuff I've done? The blood has covered it. I love that song we did. You're no longer ashamed. Amen? So he said, it's finished. Now listen to the next one. It meant that the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus were finished. It means the Old Testament law was finished. Listen, you're not under the law. You're under grace. The Bible says Moses brought the law. Jesus brought truth and grace. You're no longer under the law. The priesthood and its sacrifices were finished. Then here's the last two. God, Jesus' mastery over the devil was finished. He defeated him. And here's the last one. My hopelessness and your hopelessness is finished this Easter morning. Amen. I'm no longer hopeless. I'm redeemed. I'm rescued. God has ransomed me. He's come after me. He's come after you. Not to judge you or punish you, but because it's finished and your hopelessness is done. Listen, you and I share in the victory of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was raised from the dead. You and I will be raised from the dead. Amen? All right, that leads me right to the last statement that he said, and it's a word of reunion. I love the word reunion. It's in Luke 23:46, and listen to what it says. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. The last words Jesus spoke was a quote from the word of God. A quote from the word of God is Psalms 31:5. He quoted Psalms 31:5, and here's what it says. Into your hands I commit my spirit. You've redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. Here's two things I want you to see. Jesus trusted the Father, and he knew there would be a reunion. He trusted the Father, and he knew there would be a reunion. Listen, I grew up in Amarillo, Texas. I lived at 2722 Nebraska Street. My phone number was 352-3305. Before that, it was FL3-3305. Y'all old enough to remember letters? Yeah, y'all was like, yeah, I remember letters. I grew up with my mother, I grew up with my father, and I grew up with my brother. All three of those people are in the kingdom. My dad is gone, my mother is gone. This last Easter, a year ago, today was the last time I saw my brother alive. Easter Sunday morning last year, 2 weeks later, he went to heaven. There is going to be a reunion. They are not in my past, they are in my future. They are not in my past, they are in my future. Jesus told God, the last thing he said was, into your hands I commit my spirit. Hey, Dad, I'm coming home. Yeah. Oh, I got to go to hell first, but I'm coming home. And there's going to be a reunion. There's a reunion there and there's a reunion here. Listen, your loved ones that are in the kingdom, you are going to see them again and there's going to be a reunion. I don't know about you, but that means something to me. I'm going to see my parents. I'm going to see my brother. I'm going to see my grandparents. You know, when he died last year on Friday, then that Tuesday I had open heart surgery. And that was kind of a scary thing. No, it wasn't kind of. It was scary as hell. It was. I was scared out of my mind. And the thing I didn't want to happen was I didn't want to go into surgery and open my eyes and my brother be leaning over the table. What's up, dude? Because you know what that would have meant, right? Yeah, you know what that would have meant. Yeah, I didn't want that to happen. I was like, I want to see you, bro, but later. Amen? Amen. There's going to be a reunion. Listen, Jesus sacrificed himself for you. Now, don't miss this. I know everybody in this room, I know something about every one of you. Number one, you're just like me. You want to be loved. Number two, just like me, you want to be noticed. And when you're not, it hurts. And I'm talking about your father. He loves you, and he's noticed you. And the third thing is, he sacrificed himself for you. He took your bullet, if you will. And maybe that's not a good example, but somebody's shooting at you and he jumped in between you and that person and he took your bullet. He took your sin. He took your punishment. Listen, he sacrificed himself for you. You've been sacrificed for. You are loved, you are noticed, you are chosen, and you've been sacrificed for. Listen, if you've been longing in your life for somebody to love you, I got great news. You're loved. We were listening to Jimmy Evans in Amarillo at Trinity, and we showed the video here a few weeks ago, and he said, stop griping about the father you don't have and begin to rejoice in the one you do have. Man, that's good. Amen? Listen, I haven't had a dad, an earthly dad, since 1974, but I have a father who loves me. You have a father who loves you, and you've been sacrificed for. You've been noticed. Yeah, well, Pastor, what about this or what about that? Listen, I don't have all the answers to everything that's happened to me. I don't have all the answers to everything that's happened to you. But here's what I know. I know I'm loved. I know I have a father who's good. And I know what Jesus said. And he said there's going to be a reunion. Now, as I close this morning, I just want to remind you of something you already saw this morning. And it was the video Kurt did. And he made this simple statement in that video. He said, the Father was looking for the Son, waiting for him to come home. And the simple statement was the invitation to come home. Now, could I get you to just close your eyes with me for privacy? We're not trying to be religious, but I'd just like for you to take a minute and do business with God this morning, this Easter Sunday morning. And I just want to ask you a simple question. Are you home? You see, you know in your heart. Nobody else has to talk to you. You know. Now, you may be here this morning and you say, hey, Pastor, I'm here. I'm glad I came. But I don't know that I know Jesus as my Savior. I don't know that I've done that. Then I just want to invite you to come home. Maybe you're here and you know, I got saved when I was 12 years old. That's when I invited Christ into my life. But there were times in my life I drifted from God. And maybe that's where you are this morning. You know Jesus as your Savior, but you're far from him. Or maybe you've just drifted a little, but you know you need to come home. Listen, there's no greater time to come home than Easter weekend. It's our spiritual Super Bowl, amen? There's no greater time to come home. Now, I'm just going to ask you to respond, not to me, but to God. You say, hey, Pastor, I want to come home this morning. Would you mind holding your hand up and wave it at God where he could see you? You're not doing it for me. All right, I see those hands. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, I want to come home this morning. Jesus, I want to come home. Listen, the Father's on the porch, and he's looking down the road, and he's saying, hey, come home. I'm grateful that you've responded. I'm grateful. Now, before I prayed, anybody else, I don't want to leave anybody out. You'd say, I want to come home. Would you slip your hand up and let God see it? Amen. All right, let me pray. Father, I love you this morning. Father, I'm thankful for that reunion that's coming. I'm thankful for the invitation that no matter where we are, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, we can come home. Lord, we want to come home. Jesus, we believe this morning that you're the Son of God. We believe you're who you said you were, that you died and you rose from the dead the third day, not for your guilt, but for ours. Jesus, we believe that you physically rose from the dead. We believe that you're our Savior. We believe that you're our Redeemer. And Lord Jesus, we want to come home. Father God, I pray that the people that raised their hands this morning are strengthened and encouraged this Easter Sunday morning. That, Father God, as they leave this service, they tell somebody, hey, I raised my hand and I'm going home. I'm going home. Father God, thank you for what you're doing in our lives and that your grace goes with us as we leave this place this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Would y'all stand, please? The Lord's good. Amen. Amen, man. Amen. All right, we love you. Y'all go and be blessed. Y'all have a great rest of your Easter weekend.